W4DJW, KN4RJN.
KN4RJN, W4DJW.
Was digging through some stuff trying to find some things, and I found another hard drive that I pulled out of an old computer that I used as an extra hard drive for my Mini.
Does it fit one that you want to preserve the existing hard drive on?
I hooked it up to the one computer just to look and see what was on it. It's got some old files and stuff that I don't really need. There's some pictures I'll probably pull off of there, but no, I have no desire to preserve it. I suppose wipe it clean, put Linux on it, and hook it up to one of these other computers and let it run.
Well, that's what I've been doing. And buying a replacement, the cheap, low-volume hard drives and M-SATA drives off of Amazon just to get them up and running again. Not a whole lot of an investment. But that's cool if you can find a spare. I found some spares, too. I got a stack of them. I've tried them all out. They'll work for a little while, 3 or 4 hours, and then they quit.
It's been sitting in a drawer for a while. Hang on a minute. Let me look at it.
Wait, Wallace, sorry about it. And wipe out the pornography.
It's a Western Digital WD-1200.
Well, as long as you get off of it what you want. The Toshiba I found last night was one that my wife asked me to make sure the hard drive was wiped clean on it. So I wiped it clean when I put a new operating system on it, and it reformatted the whole hard drive.
Sir, Jim, what did you say? I was away from the radio.
I'm sure you got your Bitcoin wallets off of it. And make sure all the naughty porno pictures are wiped out.
Do Bitcoin, and as for the other, I never save that. If I'm not exactly sure how to wipe a hard drive completely clean.
Well, I never really trusted anybody else's thing that said that they wiped it clean. So a while back I wrote one that I wrote a program that opened up a file and started writing to it until it got to the end of the operating system. It unlinked, that's the programming term for delete, it unlinked all of the file. I plugged it in not as the operating system that was running, but as just a spare hard drive, and then opened up a file on it and wrote a zero to every byte. Set all bits to one value and then went to the next one. And that's the only way I know for sure, because I wrote the code. So the other ones I don't know about. But I know when you say format it for Unix, then it would be very difficult for somebody to undo that and go find chunks of data. It's not impossible, but it would be very difficult. It wouldn't be worth the effort.
I remember at one time there was a military program that would do exactly that. It would go through and write a 1, and then go back through and write a 0, and then go back through and write a 1, and then go back through and write a 0 again in every byte, and that would pretty well clean it out.
There was a way, the way Michelin used to do it is we had this huge magnet that had a lever on it, and that's back when the discs were like the size of a plate, right? The discs on the Mini mainframe, and we'd take those discs off, and we'd turn that magnet was, I don't know, probably weighed 30 pounds. It was huge. It had a big steel handle on it, and you'd pick it up, and you turn the lever over to one side, and the magnetism could get out, and you'd pass it over the disc about 3 times. You'd flip the disc over and pass it over that same disc about 3 more times, and that disc was gone. It was trashed.
Way to do it. What were you going to say, Kevin?
I was going to say, look for a program called D-Band, Darren's Boot and Nuke. It's also, you can make a bootable floppy or a CD or a thumb drive out of it. The other possible way is use the DD command. That's the way you would copy a disk. But for the source disk, use /dev/0 or /dev/random.
Program again.
DBAN stands for Darren's Boot and Nuke. And it's either a standalone program or you can make a bootable CD.
Go looking for that. See if I can do something. Once I get the photos and the other stuff on there that's still on that hard drive off there, I might do that.
Dvan.org or sourceforge.net/projects/dvan. I've used it before.
Dave, if I load Linux onto that spare hard drive, will that overwrite the operating system?
That's affirmative. When it so I've done about 4 or 5 of them that I just rewrote over the operating system with Linux. I downloaded the latest version of Debian for x86 architecture, that AMD 64 that you saw, because they're all 64-bit. But it will get to a point where it's going to partition the drive, and that's where you select. And there may be many of them on there, and it warns you 2 times, and it makes sure you want to wipe the hard drive when you install Linux. And you pick which partition you want it to go in. And usually if there's only one drive in there, you pick the SDA drive. And if there's any other partitions on there, I don't know if it gives you opportunity to delete them or not, but I think it... Oh, yeah, it does, because one of the options it says is use the whole hard drive, all right, and that's the first one when it gets to that point. And then it's got different options of using different partitions. And then it has in parentheses recommended for first-time users. And if you select that, it'll repartition that drive, and it'll take every bit of it.
Glenn, I don't know why I was calling you Kevin. I'm sorry.
If you don't mind losing everything, you can always buy or build a magnetic resonant cavity oven. Take the cover off the hard drive, slip it in, and in about 7 minutes, it's clean.
Or there's usually one that'll say, you know, install it alongside any operating system that happens to be there. Or there's usually a third option that'll say where you can manually select, set up or delete partitions and how big you want each partition to be. I generally actually usually use that option for one reason. I take the system partition and the home partition and put them on different devices. So that slash and slash user or slash home are on different disks. So that way, if I ever have to blow up the operating system, the home directory is fine.
Do that. Well, I'm going back on out of here, guys. And go back to beating on this computer. KN4RJ, and I'm clear.
All right, John, have fun. I'm still doing the same. W4DJW.
2 computers running. I got to set up a bunch more. I got the Windows, the unused Windows 7 system running. And the, let's see, it'll tell you, if you click on a username, it'll tell you what computer is. And I got the old system that's running Mac OS. I had to get a slightly older version of the software, but I know I got laptops and things. I can set up maybe 1 or 2 laptops.
Well, Glenn, I had so many laptops running around in the office, I had to clean out some space in the closet, and then I put them on the shelves in the closet. So now they're... Now and then I close the closet doors and I can't hear them running.
Computer to give it enough room to actually work, but I've got 2 of them running now.
That was me, John. Go ahead. Go again.
Computer's running now. I plugged that other hard drive into it just to see what was on it, and I don't know if it shot over to that and pulled space off of that, or if I got enough other stuff off of the hard drive on the computer itself to to give it room, but it's running now.
It's running with two hard drives, the one internal and the one external, or just with one internal?
Sure. I had plugged the other hard drive in just to see what was in, what was on it, and then I left alone. I came back, and it's running a project now.
Okay, so now you got a hold of Tiger's Tail. You don't know whether to unplug that USB drive or not, huh?
I've got it hooked in with it's got a slave cable. It was a data recovery kit that I got to pull stuff off of an old hard drive. So it's plugged in to that with a USB port, and I have to give it external power. But I don't know if it's running off of that or if it's running off the computer itself.
Well, once you get too many of them stacked up around you, you got to find space to put them somewhere. That's what I've been doing, powering them down, relocating them inside the closet, and powering back up and get them started crunching again, just to get back office space.
The other one's sitting on a table in my library. I just have to keep running back and forth between my office and the library, which is like, you know, three steps. But I'm running out of room on that table because I've got the other computer behind it that said it couldn't find the site. I need to bring it back up and see what's going on with that.
That's where you set up that manager to log, to pull another instance of the manager. You open a new Bionic manager window, and you tell it, and the first thing it's going to do is say, what's the host name and what's the password? And you have to go into where the files are stored, the configuration files are stored, and there's one file that you can edit. I think I sent you an email on that, but if I didn't, let me know and I'll resend it. And you just put a password in there. And then so you give it the host name and the password, and instead of being representing what's running on the computer you're on, it'll represent what's on that other computer that's on the network. And that way you don't have to keep running back and forth to the library.
Well, I might have to shut somebody down here long to read my email because I don't want to touch this computer because it's running along and humming and doing its thing. And it's showing me 1, 2, 3, 4 parent projects going on here at the same time, or 4 things running on my computer, on my desk computer, at various percentages. But I don't know, I don't completely understand what all is going on, but apparently it's got 4 things going on.
Well, this process, if you've got 4 cores and your compute options are set to 100%, then it's working for your work units. Now, that might get you in trouble. It did me. I had to go into options and set it to only use 100% of the CPUs, but only 90% of the time, because the computer itself needs some time to do some house cleaning. And the default that they send out, if you don't change it, is 100% of the CPUs, 100% of the time. And that'll run for a little while, but then it's going to get in trouble, and it's going to shut down and have to clean up and get messy. So it'd be good to go into those options, compute options, and turn down the percentage of time so that it's not using 100% of the CPUs 100% of the time. That might save you some heartache.
After I take a break here, I'll let this thing run for a little while, and then I'll go in and I'll do that.
How have you got that set, Glenn? Are you using 100% CPUs 100% of the time?
But, you know, the foreground is still responsive enough for whatever it has to run. But then again, these are the two disused computers. The one that's the Dell Optiplex, it just sits here in case anyone ever has to run Windows. And the other one is that homebrew one in the back room, the server running Mac OS Snow Leopard. So those are the two that are running. I needed an older version of the software for Snow Leopard, and I even got this one here, very very old Apple Power PC system, but can't get the software running on that one because it says something about error. No work available.
I didn't, like when they first created the 64-bit architecture for the Raspberry Pi, for the ARM, 64-bit ARM. In the very beginning, I was reading back in the forum, and I saw where they drained the queue on work units pretty quick. The guys that were getting them up and set and getting them running, they pulled everything off of the queue for the ARM architecture. So I guess that means they have to build work units based on the architecture that's going to process them. So we've got buckets of work units, probably a ton of work units in the Intel architecture, not so much in the ARM, so you could run out. And if whatever architecture that one is, they may not have any more work units for that one at the moment.
So there is no whatever program it runs. Yeah, there's nothing for PowerPC because, you know, who cares?
That's a possibility. That's what I'm thinking. W4DJW.
All right, I was hoping this one could do something. Because this is, again, you know, what does this machine ever do? This is the Macintosh compatibility machine, in case they ever got to run a 20-year-old Macintosh program. But aside from that, this is another one that sits around.
Well, I had that same issue with my graphics card. I've got one of those NVIDIA GPUs that has 2400 or 2240, something like that, CPUs on a single GPU, approximately 2400 CPUs on a single GPU. And it will crunch through some data. It's like a couple hundred times faster than my fastest PC. But they don't have any GPU work units. So I went to a different project and started pulling GPU work units for it just because they don't have any work units architected for GPUs.
Website under my computers or your computers, it lists the GPU, the video card that's in these. So we don't know if he uses the GPU on the video card or not, because that would speed things up quite a bit.
Well, I could see my GPU was idle, so I knew it wasn't using it. I hunted through the forums, and I even sent an email out to our group, and everything I came up with was, no, they don't have anything for that. So then I switched over to solving a century-old mathematical problem, started crunching for it, and right away my GPU came alive.
I have those tools. Oh, so yeah, if there was code written for it, it would use it. Because, you know, a lot of these gaming rigs now, you got a GPU with, you know, like you said, a couple hundred processors on it. You know, and each one of them, you know, they're vector processors. It's not like just add these two numbers and be like, add these 2,000 element arrays together. And so that's the kind of processing you want.
And I just went out and looked at the stats on how that GPU is doing, and I guess they're splitting one work unit across all 2,400 CPUs on the GPU, because they're finishing, you know, our work units for Rosetta at home take anywhere from about 8 to 12 hours to crunch through a work unit. These are being crunched through in 24 minutes each. So I think what they're doing is parallel processing each individual work unit across all 2,400 CPUs rather than putting 2,400 work units each on one CPU inside the GPU, which makes sense because those work units are pretty big.
What do you have that has that kind of, again, I don't even know what I'm contributing here. You know, you got, I forget who it was you were talking to yesterday, Greenville County, who's got like 40 systems that are sitting idle, like 16 core systems. I can't really make a dent in the workload here, but, you know, I'll do what I can.
Oh, I beg to differ. I was reading about that earlier this morning, and if you go to the Bionic site, they've got a link that you can go to if you're somebody that needs computing power, if you're a person that needs it. And they've got it broken down into three different ways you could get that computing power, and they're talking about teraflops. right, or petaflops, even more than that, of data. And AWS, to get, like, I don't know what the number was, like 150 teraflops or something like that. If you go to Amazon AWS, it's going to cost you $125 million for that much data. If you go to this other solution, it's going to cost you like $50 million for that much processing power. And if you go to this site, the Bionic, if you go to this site, it's like $125,000. Because they're using all of our CPUs. So they've got to have money for building this software and maintaining this software, because they've got full-time employees that build and maintain this software. They got to get paid too, just like anybody else. But by volunteering your work units, you can actually give more than Amazon or this other company combined, right? Because it's kind of like, remember when Microsoft was building proprietary software and Unix systems was open source, and what happened in the end? Linux won. They beat Microsoft hands down, because you've got millions of developers out there, or millions of people like you and me, that are contributing work to work units, which we can do a whole lot more than any major company on the planet. So every work unit counts, every single one of them.
As I said, all I got right now is these two or three decrepit systems. It's almost embarrassing. I mean, I see, let's see, 4,086,000 total credits, however that is, however you count those. Let's see, 12,955,000, and I think I'm down here with like 838, although, you know, I suppose I've just started. But, now here, Josh, N4SMH, he's up to like 4,000. So, you know, I was just saying, I don't know what I can contribute with all this obsolete hardware. I'll try to set up one laptop.
Well, that's the thing. Don't get discouraged. It took me like 3 days to break 1,000. And I was just adding computers and adding computers and adding computers. And when I first set it up, I was using Windows, and I went in there and I thought, I'm processing more than this. I should be above 1,000 by now after the third day. And then I found out most of mine were failing. And that's when I switched over to Linux, and then they all started passing. And I've seen other threads in the forum, people having similar issues with it, and I don't think they ever got to the bottom of that issue. Some Windows PCs will crunch through these things like nothing, and some of them won't. And evidently, my two 8-core processors won't, because all I was doing was creating trash. So don't get discouraged. Took me 3 days. You're on your first day, right? And you're already, how close did you say, 800 and something? You're close to what took me 3 days to get to where you are. You did it in 1 day. It took me 3 days to get there.
Eight, I think. And I've noticed that, too, the Windows 7 client. Sometimes I've had something say that the work failed, or whatever it says. Well, let me see. It's probably in the log.
Yeah, you can get many of those. Sometimes it's aborted by the project. The project says there's some methodology that they're using that can get the same workload to two different people at the same time, because maybe somebody stops it and they really want that work unit. So instead of waiting for it to expire and start back up again, they'll send it out to another person, hoping they'll get it back before this other guy even resumes. And they get it back before they resume, and then yours is aborted. So that's one thing that can happen. But mine was saying that although the work unit was completed, it didn't write the file. There was no file to upload. So I don't know what. And then they said that could be your security software doing that, not allowing you to write. So I went in there and made an exception for it so that it doesn't even scan that directory at all. Didn't help a bit. So that wasn't the issue. But it kept failing on me. That's why it took me 3 days to get where you are now.
Like I said, it's just two computers, the Windows 7 Pro on this Dell system, and the homemade beast, and the other, the server running, I'm actually running the Mac version of the software, which, is there a difference in efficiency between Mac OS or Windows or Linux version? You were telling me you thought the Linux version of this was more efficient.
That's what I have, W4DJW, that's what I have experienced, and that's what I have seen other people put on the forum, is that the Linux is much more efficient. It doesn't have the failures. It's faster, everything all around better. I have not put a Windows box next to a Linux box and timed them, right? So I don't have any scientific proof that one is better than the other. But I know that I haven't had any failures on Linux, and I had a bunch of failures on Windows, and it seems to be processing at about the same rate. In fact, I put a virtual Linux machine on my Windows desktop because I need one Windows operating system. So I put a virtual machine that is Linux on Windows, and it does better than just raw Windows was doing in terms of having failed or things that are in my control of failing work units, not a project aborted. I still get, you know, two or three project aborted, the work unit I was working on a day, two or three of them get aborted. And it's really bad when you get 90% through the work unit and all of a sudden they abort it because you just lost like 8 to 12 hours of crunch time.
Well, let's see. This one's been running for 3 hours, 38 minutes. Estimated time left, 6 hours, 22 minutes. It's about 43% done. And, too many virtual terminals open here. What's going on? Okay, this one, the one on Windows, elapsed time is 3 hours 42 minutes. The best estimated remaining time is 16:34, and it's 37% done. Of course, now I don't know when I started all these.
You can go into the event log to see when you started, when you downloaded the work unit, when you started processing it, when you uploaded it. And the events log, depending on what view you're in, it's under tools. It's the last item. Control-Shift-E brings up the event log. Well, that's probably the log you were looking in.
Okay. Oh, this is, let's see, today is the 19th. That was the 18th. Master load succeeded. That was at 640. No, that was yesterday. 644 yesterday. What happened today? Spend the work, the job I'm running now. Master file download succeeded at 644 yesterday. Okay. Project requested delay of 7 seconds. Project requesting delay of 7 seconds. I guess that's the one that's still running.
Yeah, they've got millions of people uploading and downloading work units every now and then. They don't have time. Like, they need 7 seconds to finish what they're working on before they can get to you.
I understand. So, I'll set up at least. So the only two computers, there's 4 computers in this list. Oh, yeah, but 2 of them aren't really going to. So the only two running are Hackintosh and Optiflex PC. The others, I was running one on the other Macintosh. It was running too slow to be useful. So I'll set up a laptop on the shelf above me here, get a third unit going.
That's what I've been doing. I'm scrounging around and coming across a laptop here or there. I came across this old compact LTE 5200. The thing's about 2.5 inches thick, weighs about 5 pounds. I was looking at that like, maybe I can use that. No, I don't think so. That's one I won't be able to use.
For JM.
Go ahead, John.
Find some more power strips. I'm running out of places to plug things in.
Yeah, you want to put your hand on that power cord every now and then if you run more than one or two computers off of it. Make sure it's not getting hot.
Do that. I'm well aware of that.
I know my office is the hottest room in the house right now.
Basement where it's generally cool, and I'm usually running a space heater to keep from freezing myself out, but hopefully this will warm things up a little bit.
Yeah, just redirect the electricity that was going to the space heater to the CPUs, and this won't cost you a penny in your electric bill. Well, I'm going to back out and go get something for lunch. I'm getting kind of hungry. Good talking to you guys. Appreciate all the number crunching. W4DJW.
DG, I'm going to get... There's a space on the shelf, and there's one remaining outlet. And I think there's one more Ethernet cable. Let me get another machine going, and we'll talk to you later.
A4LOQ, just asking for a radio check.
Okay, and 4UBG, radio sounds good. TH. Location at
4Kilo Yankee Whiskey, W4KYW. Monitoring. 4Kilo Yankee Whiskey, W4KYW. Monitoring.